Let's turn to the Bible. We're doing the book of Numbers. For those of you who haven't been with us for a couple of weeks, we're just in chapter 3. And so far it's a well-named book. This isn't going to go on like this for the whole book, so it's all right. We're actually going to get through the bulk of the Numbers tonight. And there's only maybe one or two other chapters later on that have a lot to do with Numbers. So I'll remind you that the Hebrew title of the book is In the Wilderness, or In the Desert. And so this is the story of leaving Mount Sinai and making our way to the Promised Land, which obviously that is a model of our journey through this life, right? We've come to the Lord, we've become His people, and you know we have a journey ahead of us until we get to where we're going. Okay, so far, Numbers chapter 3. So far we have counted the 12 tribes except for the tribe of Levi. And you remember the diagram, maybe. I didn't bring my computer tonight, but we set the tribes in order around the camp. Okay, there's a place for everyone, and everyone goes in his place. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. And what he was doing is setting his forces in order for their march to their inheritance. Okay, and we talked about how similar that is to the building of Ephesians chapter 2, or 1 Peter chapter 2 also. You know, God is fitting his people together, stone by stone, into a holy temple for himself to dwell in by his spirit, right? Or a body made up of individual parts, and each part is in a place, and each part is a thing to do so that the whole unit fits together as an organism, okay? It's how an army moves. It's how the body of Christ ought to fit together as a unit. Okay, so tonight I want to cover chapters 3 and 4. So like I said, it's a lot. It deals with the arrangement of the Levites. Okay, it's not that God didn't want to count the Levites at all. It's just that they weren't being counted for the armies. Okay, the Levites have their own service to perform because, you know, the army is the army of God. And there are duties to perform in order to maintain the presence of God in the midst of the army. Okay? So I need to take both of these chapters together, so let's just jump in. Right? Chapter 3 says, now this is just like it says in Genesis several times. These are the generations of. Okay? But it's translated differently here. Now these are the records of Aaron and Moses. Remember, they're brothers. Aaron and Moses, when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. Okay, if some of you that come on Wednesday night, some of the names will ring a bell because we recently went through the genealogies in 1 Chronicles, including, you know, a big focus of that is on the tribe of Levi. So you'll have heard some of these names before. Okay, these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, four sons. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he consecrated to minister as priests. That just happened in Leviticus. Okay, Aaron is commissioned and his four sons are commissioned to assist him. But verse 4, Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord, right, on their first day of work, Leviticus 10, which was less than 1 month ago, as the narrative goes. All right, wonderful. Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So there's two left. Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests in the presence of Aaron, their father. Okay, Aaron is the high priest, and the other two are priests. Okay, and then there's priests, and then there's all the other Levites. Okay, Levi is the tribe. Levi is one of the 12 sons of Joseph. So all the descendants of Levi, but just the descendants of the one man, Aaron, can serve as priests. Okay, you got that? Okay, but they can't do everything, you know, that concerns the tabernacle by themselves. It's just one man and his two sons. It's too much for them to do. Okay, so verse 5, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near. Okay, and this is the language used for bringing an offering to God. Present them before Aaron the priest that they may serve him, and they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting to do the work of the tabernacle. Okay, who's going to light all the fires? Who's going to cut all the wood? Who's going to fill the, you know, the laver with water? You know, who's going to carry the ashes out and, you know, cut up the animals and fill the lamps and break, you know, bake the bread? And how are we going to transport this shrine, this tabernacle? Okay, way too much for the priest and his two sons to deal with. Okay, So also, verse 8, they shall also attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the spiritual needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Okay, there are certain duties that only the priests, not even the other Levites, only the priests can take care of. And if somebody assumes too much, it's going to cost them his life. Okay, and actually we're going to have an incidence of that later in the book. Verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine because all the firstborn are mine." So you remember this was the deal on the day of the Exodus, right? "On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." Okay, that "I am the Lord" kind of puts an exclamation point on this, right? I rule heaven and earth, and you're going to be my people, and I am going to set the terms. So what we're going to see here then is an exchange, right? The Lord had struck the firstborns of Egypt, but he spared the Israelite firstborn because, remember, you painted the door with blood, right? You had the sign of the blood of the Passover lamb over your door. If it wasn't for that, the firstborn of Israel also would have been killed on that night. Okay, so God spared the Israelite firstborn sons, so effectively they're his property, right? They belong to him. Okay, so imagine an arrangement different from what God is doing here. Imagine an arrangement where God could have required every family in Israel in perpetuity to surrender its firstborn son to the service of the tabernacle, okay, all his life, right? Imagine all of the family ramifications and social ramifications, how the whole society would look different if that was a thing. What would society be like if traditionally, generation after generation, you know, every young newly married couple has to give away to the tabernacle their first son? And, you know, your other sons you can keep for yourself, but your firstborn belongs to me. Okay, God showed grace to the Israelite slaves. You know, you came out of slavery, and now here's the land that you live in, but this is the cost. Okay, this is the deal. Okay, so you remember in 1 Samuel, at the beginning of 1 Samuel, Hannah, right? She has no children. She goes and prays her heart out to God, "Please give me a son, and if you do, I'll give him back to you," right? I'm sure you read this story at some point in your life, right? And so God answered her prayer, and she kept her promise. When little Samuel was 2 years old or three, right, when he was weaned, she took him up to the temple and she gave him to Eli. Okay, and every year she would visit him and bring him a little bit bigger robe to wear. And you think, wow, you know, I don't think I could do, you know, as a mother, I don't think I could do that. Okay, how hard that would be, you know. And so it says Hannah went on to have five children, but her firstborn was given to the Lord. Okay, well, she's the one who proposed that to the Lord. She did that voluntarily. Just imagine if everybody in Israel was required to do that. Okay, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. From now on, this is the deal. Okay, well, it's very clear God does not want to do that. God doesn't want to break up families like that, so he does this instead. We're going to make an exchange. Okay, I will take this one tribe for myself, right? One Levite for each of the other firstborns of the other tribes. That way, all the families stay together. And the other thing is, among the tribe of Levi, serving the tabernacle and later on the temple becomes kind of the family heritage. You know, sons grow up watching their dads do this, right? And you talk shop around the house, you know, like you do with any other kind of a occupation. And then eventually the sons take over in their father's place in the service. So this way really is a lot better. Okay, and the bond of family, you know, the whole tribe of Levi, the bond of family enhances the service at the tabernacle. Okay, so rather than, you know, take one from this family like that, God takes the whole tribe of Levi in perpetuity, and he says, bring them near to me, and I will give them to Aaron. So what we have to do then is settle up. Okay, and then rather just saying, you know, I'm going to take this group and exchange it for that group, it's very interesting. We're going to count heads, right? It's going to be one for one, a life for a life. Okay, so that's really the rest of chapter 3. We have to count the Levites. That's verses 14 to 39. And then we have to count the firstborns of Israel. That's 40 to 43. And then they settle up. That's the rest of the chapter. While we're at that, we're also going to, well, I didn't bring my diagram, but we're going to locate each of them in their places in the camp. And also, God is going to divide up their particular areas of work. What are they going to be responsible for in the tabernacle? Okay, so that's where we're going. So we're on 14, right? The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi by their fathers' houses, by their families. You shall number every male from a month old and above. Okay, in the first chapter, when we were counting heads, it was 20 years old and up. Okay, because there we were talking about fighting men. Okay, this is different. You know, all your life, this is, you're dedicated to the service of the house of God. So we're just talking about all, everybody, right? 1 month old and up. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded. So let's talk about Levi. These are the sons of Levi by their names. So we're backing up to Genesis, to the actual man, Levi, the son of Jacob. He has three sons. Okay, these are the sons of Levi by their names. Remember this from 1 Chronicles, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Okay, three tribes of Levites. These are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families. So this is grandsons. There's Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath, the second brother, by their families, Amram, that's Moses' dad, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. And then the third son, the sons of Merari, by their families, Mali and Mushi. Okay, these are the families of the Levites by their father's houses. So let's talk about them one at a time. From Gershon came the family of the Libnites and the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites, those who were numbered according to the number of all the males a month old and above. Those who were numbered were 7,500. Families of the Gershonites, now we're going to, where they live. They're to camp behind the tabernacle westward, west side. And the leader of the father's house of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. What's their job? The duties of the children of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting included, okay, this is like the fabrics and the skins that the thing is made out of. The tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen, it's like the fabric curtains for the door of the tabernacle. The 26, the screen for the door of the court, it's like the outside door. The hangings of the court, remember it's a big rectangle made out of linen. Hangings of the court, which are around the tabernacle and the altar, and their cords, or their ropes, according to all the work relating to them. Okay, so basically the fabrics and the skins. Next brother, from Kohath came the family of the Amramites, okay, Moses and Aaron's dad, the family of the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. According to the number of all the males a month old and above, there were 8,600, or 8,300, maybe you have a footnote, 8,300 is the right number because that's how it adds up. Keeping charge of the sanctuary. Okay, the sanctuary is the holy place, you know, the actual, you know, inner court, right? The holy place and the most holy place. The families of the children of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. The leader of the father's house, the family of the Kohathites, was Elizaphan, the son of Uziel. So this would be like Moses' cousin, right? First cousin, I think. Their duty included, okay, the sacred things, the ark, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the altars. Okay, there's the incense altar inside, there's the bronze altar outside where the animals are burned, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they ministered, the screen, which is the veil, the inner veil, and all the work relating to them. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, okay, he's a Kohathite. He was to be chief over the leaders of the Levites with oversight of those who kept charge of the sanctuary, okay, the actual, you know, holy place, most holy place. Okay, Eleazar is going to, when his dad dies, Aaron dies, Eleazar is going to graduate to the high priest. Okay, and then someday his son, his name is Phinehas, his son will take over his job, okay, being in charge of these items. So what you notice is the family of Moses doesn't get mentioned, right? Moses has sons, but the descendants of Moses, they have no special place in the religious life of Israel other than, well, I mean, they're Levites, but in the national life of Israel, like, nobody takes Moses's place. And that's, okay, God appointed Aaron to be the priest and the sons of Aaron to be the priests in perpetuity. And it's just interesting, isn't it, that as important and crucial as a person as Moses was, it was unique. Like, there's not a hereditary Moses job to do, you know, to, like, go talk to the Lord face to face or anything like that, okay? So the sons of Moses are Levites, but they're not priests, and, you know, they're not going to continue to, like, get face-to-face revelation from God. So that's interesting. All right, 33, from Merari came the Mahlites and the Mushites. These were the families of Merari. Those who were numbered according to the number of all the males a month old and above were 6,200. The leader of the father's house of the families of Merari was Zuriel, which means God is my rock. Good name. Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. So we had west, south, north. And the appointed duty of the children of Merari included this is kind of like the structural stuff, the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, pillars, sockets, its utensils, all the work relating to them, and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets, pegs, and cords. Okay, so like we said last time, but this is even more obvious this time, everybody has their part in the work. You know, all of the boards have to be accounted for in order to put the tabernacle back together. You know, and each one goes in a certain place, and, you know, there's big stakes and things that go in the ground and hammers, and, like, this is all necessary in order to have a tabernacle. Okay, so we'll see that in a minute. 38 says, those who camp before the tabernacle on the east, right, where the sun comes up, before the tabernacle of meeting are Moses, Aaron's sons, keeping charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel. But again, the outsider who came near was to be put to death. So sum it all up, all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord by their families, all the males a month old and above were 22,000. I don't know if you remember the first chapter, but this is by far the smallest tribe. I think 32,000 or something was the next biggest tribe, and that was only a half a tribe. Okay, and that's counting everybody from 1 month old and up, not 20 years old and up. And, well, what happened to tribe of Levi? Why are they so small? You know, you have to guess. Is it just because they had fewer children? I thought maybe it's possible that they were the worst victimized by the Egyptians. Because you know that, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter goes out to take a bath, right? Who lives there? Who does she find? Baby Moses in the ark. You know, Moses' family lives apparently right there in the capital city where the Pharaoh is. And you know the Egyptians are out there, you know, killing Israelite babies. So I don't know. Did Levi suffer more than others? You know, it's just an idea. I don't know. Okay, anyway, it's the smallest tribe. Okay, so now I have to do one more thing, and that is to count the firstborns, because we're going to make an exchange. So that's verse 40. The Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and up, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the livestock of the children of Israel. So they did that. Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded him. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of names a month old and above, those who were numbered were 22,273. So, okay, there's 600,000 men in Israel, and only 22,000 of them are firstborn. So that's like one out of 30 males is a firstborn. So, you know, you're saying that like for every firstborn son of a family, there's 29 other males in this. Like, that's, so people say, wait a minute, you know, hold up, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So this is one of these Bible problems. Okay, so one way to get around this problem is maybe once a man is grown and has his own family, he's not counted as a firstborn anymore. You know, he's a man in his own right. That's okay. I could see that being a thing. Another solution is that what if you're only counting firstborn sons who have been born since the night of the Passover? Okay, you know, the Lord slew the firstborn, and so from now on, the firstborns will be mine. Okay, but that's only been 1 year ago, and I'm not sure if 22,000 firstborn sons could have been born even to that many people in 1 year. So, you know, to figure out something here. Okay, 44. Now we're going to make the exchange, I think. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of theirs, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Okay, now we have this few left over. For the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. Okay, so when we finish Leviticus, the last chapter of Leviticus is, it's not very thrilling, but it's about what is the price of a person if you wanted to redeem a person from the Lord. And it turns out that for a child 1 month old to 5 years old, it's 5 shekels, what he just says here. So maybe this is our answer. Maybe we're talking about kids from 1 month old to 5 years old, and there's 22,273 of them. Okay, anyway, you know, so a few ideas have been proposed, you know, again, so you can't just say, I don't think this is true, and just, you know, throw the whole Bible out. Okay, there are ways to see how such a thing could be consistent. Okay, anyway, 5 shekels for each of these other ones. Take them in the currency of this shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel that's made of 20 gerahs, whatever they are, but just little tiny amounts. You shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So this is what you're doing. You're redeeming the remaining firstborns. Okay, and so this is what redemption is. It's an exchange. Okay, when we talk about the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's an exchange, isn't it? It's a life for a life, right? The Lord Jesus is taken, and we are, you know, we're released from, you know, our obligation, for we're released from being taken. Okay, so the firstborn belong to me, God says, but you can redeem them, right? A Levite is going to take the place of your firstborn son, or in your case, you know, you're one of the leftovers. Well, 5 shekels will redeem your son. Okay, so that's what they did. Moses took the redemption money. I don't know how they picked which ones, paid 5 shekels. Who knows? But Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites. Okay, and that's the idea. There's a one-to-one. Okay, God is precise about this. And I think that's maybe why the Lord insisted on this. It's just to show us it's one for one. Okay, with Christ, what is it? One died for all. Okay, he's the Son of God. Okay, his life is not actually like the value of one of our lives. Right? You know, Jesus himself said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And in Psalm 49, it says, you can't ransom a life. Right? No man could ever give enough that he should live forever and not go down to the pit. So, you know, Christ's life is of unlimited value, okay, and the, you know, New Testament says it's a better redemption, right? It's a better redemption. It's not a, you know, a sinner for a sinner. It's the Son of God for all the sinners, okay? 50, from the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money. It's 1,365 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. So it's, you know, God is being precise. You're talking about less than a half a talent. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, so they made the exchange. So I feel like we ought to do this tonight rather than save it. So chapter 4 is there's a portion of the Levites who actually serve. Okay, some of them are still too young, some of them are too old. So let's just cover that. What are their duties when the camp moves? All right, chapter 4. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi by their families and their father's house, from 30 years old and above to 50 years old. Okay, so I'm getting ready to retire, right? No. All who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. Okay, we talk about Kohath first, even though he's the second son, because this is the priestly tribe, and their work is the most holy work. Chapter 4, verse 4. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting relating to the most holy things. So we're going to disassemble the tabernacle. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons, that's important, they shall come, and here's how we're going to take the thing apart. They take down the veil, take down the covering veil, and I guess like walk forward and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it, with the veil itself. Then they put on it a covering of badger skins and spread over that a cloth of blue, and then they shall insert its poles. Okay, so when they're out carrying it across the wilderness, what do you see? You just see a blanket and the pole sticking out of the front and the back. You don't see the Ark. Okay, verse 7, on the table of showbread, same idea, different order though. They shall put a blue cloth and then put on that the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread shall be on it. And they shall spread over that a scarlet cloth and cover that with a covering of badger skins, and then they shall insert its poles. Okay, so nobody of the common people ever sees the table of showbread. You see a thing with the pole sticking out. In verse 9, they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, wick trimmers, trays, all its oil vessels with which they service it. And they shall put it with all its utensils in a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam or frame. The golden altar of incense, they shall spread a blue cloth, cover it with a covering of badger skins. They shall insert its poles. They shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary and put them in a blue cloth, cover it with a covering of badger skins, put it on a carrying beam, and they shall... This is just Aaron and his sons are doing all this. Not the Levites aren't involved yet. So just the three men right now. Also, they shall take away the ashes from the altar. They shall spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put all its implements with which they minister there, fire pans, forks, shovels, basins, all the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. Okay, so... Only the Ark, what you see if you're seeing these things move, the Ark is blue on the outside. Everything else is covered with this leather, whatever these badger skins are. So it's like leather on the outside. The Ark is blue. The other things have like coverings underneath, but, you know, the outside is just the plain thing. Okay, and so 15, when Aaron and his sons are doing all that, finish covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath, so that includes Moses' sons, shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. All you can touch is the poles. So, of course, you know the story of David. You know why this went south for David, right? Uzzah touches the ark, okay? This is the part of the Bible where David discovered his mistake. What did we do wrong? Why did Uzzah die? Okay, when he's trying to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. Okay, these are the things in the tabernacle which the sons of Kohath are to carry. Yes?
I was still thinking about when they tried to move it, was it covered with this skin?
It doesn't say so I imagine...
The Philistines probably disrespected it to the point that they uncovered that. And...
Yeah, so it's not done. It came back on a cart by itself, and then people looked inside and everything and people died. So, you know what? You got to go back to the Bible and you got to do it right. And that's what David learned. Okay, so, he's reading Numbers. All right, let's see, 16. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, he has all these things are his purview. The oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all of the actual tabernacle and all that is in it, the sanctuary and its furnishings. Okay, everything we just talked about being covered up. 17, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. Okay, in other words, don't let them be killed by not doing their work properly. 19, do this in regard to them that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task. But they shall not go in to watch when the holy things are being covered, lest they die. Okay, so even the Levites cannot look at the table of showbread and the ark, okay? Anything that goes inside, not even the Levites, only the priests, the sons of Aaron. Okay, so I guess we're going to do some counting. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take a census of the sons of Gershon. That was Kohath, this is Gershon. 23, from 30 years old and up, even to 50 years old, you shall number them, all who enter to perform their service, to do the work in the tabernacle. Here's what they do. Service of the families of the Gershonites in serving and carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the like literal tabernacle itself with its covering, the covering of badger skins that's on it, the screen for the, you know, somebody's got to roll up all these curtains and fold them or whatever, the screen for the door of the tabernacle, the screen for the door of the gate of the court, that's the entrance, the hangings of the court all around the perimeter, around the tabernacle and altar, all their cords, all the furnishings for all their service, and all that is made for these things, so shall they serve. Again, Aaron and his sons shall assign all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, all their tasks and all their service, and you shall appoint to them all their tasks as their duty. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle, and their duty shall be under the authority of the other son, Ithamar, the son of Aaron. Okay, last one, as for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who enters the service of the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle. The boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, pillars all around the court with their sockets, pegs, and cords, with all their furnishings and all their service, and you, again, shall assign to each man by name the item he must carry. Okay, those boards are 15 feet long and like 22 inches wide. It is a big board. Okay, that's your job. Okay, you are to carry it. If it doesn't get there, we can't set up the tabernacle. Okay, don't worry. You find out later that they get carts. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Okay, so Eleazar is in charge of all the stuff that goes in the tabernacle, Ithamar, all of the structural things. Okay, so now just the numbers, 34. Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and father's house from 30 years old up to 50 years old. Everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, and those who were numbered by their families were 2,750. These were the ones numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Okay, Gershon, all numbered of the sons of Gershon, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 to 50 years old. Everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, 2,630. These are the ones who are numbered of the families of Gershon, all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the commandment of the Lord. And the families of the sons of Merari, who are numbered by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old to 50, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who numbered by their families were 3,200. Okay, these are the ones who are numbered, the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Sum it all up. At last, all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above to 50 years old, everyone who came to do the work of service and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered were 8,580, which seems like a lot of people to handle that one structure, but okay. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service and according to his task. Thus they were numbered by him as the Lord commanded Moses. All right. Thank you for hanging in there. Last thing I want to say for tonight is that nothing done for the Lord is insignificant. Okay. Is washing windows very exciting? Okay. Is stocking paper towels? Is making coffee, you know, a high profile job? Is, you know, So what if it isn't? Okay, look who you're serving. Okay, you're serving at the house of God. Right? It's not the job, it's the one you serve. Okay? That's what's significant. Making coffee like is not a big deal, but you made coffee for the children of God. That's something, isn't it? Right? You're washing windows in the house of the Lord. You're sweeping up the floor in the house of the Lord. Okay, your job is this tent peg. You know, if this tent peg doesn't make it to our destination, you know, I heard another preacher say, if you don't bring that tent peg, you're going to sit there all night and hold that rope. You know, that is your job to bring that tent peg. Okay, so the tabernacle doesn't stand up unless everybody pitches in and does their job, right? And so it may be a menial job, but it's not a menial job when you consider who it's for. Okay, and I think if everyone found it a privilege and a personal delight to take an assigned task, you know, like David himself said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, right? So you pass out bulletins, that's a thing. You pick up the communion cups, that's a thing. You know, visit the widow, visit the sickly, right? Wash one another's feet, right? I'm setting you an example. That's what the Lord wants us to do. I want you to cut somebody's grass, okay? Many hands make light work. And you throw 8,000 Levites together, it's probably not a hard job to get this thing taken down and, you know, get it on its way in a lickety-split, okay? So, you know, some people are priests. They have this kind of duty. Others are Levites. They have these other duties. But you can't run the show on just priests. You have to have the Levites, and each one has to do his job. So again, everybody has something to do, and everything done for the Lord will last. Okay? So with that said, thanks for sticking through all of that. I think we're mostly done with the actual numbers, part of numbers. Let's say goodnight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for helping us understand your word. And our place, once again, Lord, to know that we have a place. We have a lot of little tasks, chores, big and small. Nothing is insignificant, Lord, when we know that we're doing it for you. So thank you for including us in your great plan. Your great plan comes down to millions of small details. And everything makes a difference. Everything moves the cause of the gospel forward. So I'm grateful to you, Lord, that even little children can serve you. And even to our gray hair, Lord, we can serve you. So we thank you, Father, that it's not just when we turn 30 and have to retire when we turn 50, but that we can serve you all our lives. And there's a lot of things, Father, that you allow us to do. So thank you for calling us into your family and into your kingdom. Bless us as we go home, Lord. Watch over and protect us and bring us back together again another time. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.